All right. Are you ready?
I am. I didn't sleep last night. I look like shit.
It's okay. So I didn't sleep good myself. Well, I don't know if you heard, but my mother-in-law had to put her doggy down last night. And Logan was with her, and it was his first. I mean, he's got a cat, but he loved that dog. Like,
that's hard.
Yeah, he's doing so good. I'm so proud of him for just feeling his feelings. And he wanted to go to school. He was like, I can go to school today. And just, I think I was expecting him to just fall apart or something. And he proved me wrong once again. He's way more emotionally well-managed than I am at times.
That's great. It's hard. We had to put down our last golden. We have a new one now. That was a couple years ago. And my daughter, who was living with us, was 9 months pregnant. And we put the dog down on a Tuesday at 3. And then, or I think it was Tuesday. Anyways, that night she went into labor. So I had absolutely no sleep. We were a mess.
Yeah, life and death
in the same 24-hour period.
Nana's dog was a golden also. And I know she was the sweetest thing, but she,
they are so sweet.
They are. She was sweet. And I think what was hard for Logan last night, one of the things he kept saying was it was so unexpected. And, you know, like he just,
he had cancer, the golden, cause our golden had cancer. They die of cancer a lot.
They think what happened, her spleen had ruptured at some point. She had no iron left in her blood by the time they got there. She hadn't been bleeding or nothing. Like, she just was getting tired. And my mother-in-law recently moved, and she thought it was just being in a new house and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, it just was interesting to me, because I was thinking I want to have a conversation with him about his idea of it happened so soon, being like really helping him understand that that's a thought, because he, you know, kind of was rationalizing the reason I was hurting so was because of that. And it was or something else he said about his freshman year of high school, it ending on this note. Yeah, which is so, like, it's so funny to me, because he's like, you know, 16, and he's rationalizing grief like so many of us do. Like, if I had known it was coming, it would have somehow been easier. Or because it coincides with something, somehow that just ruins everything. And it's really just helping him understand, you know, you get to feel sad and everything, but let's make sure you understand this is the thinking causing it. And like, do you want to feel sad driven from this thought, or do you want to feel sad from genuine grief and empathy of she's no longer here? Sometimes, you know, like, even though that sounds small, it is a small way our brain rationalizes guilt, or not guilt, blame. Like, let me, you know, put it outside of me a little bit, you know, so that I don't have to feel the, almost the enormity of the sadness. So anyway, it's just very curious to me. So I'm going to use it as a, just talk to him a little bit and see if he sees that. Cause I'm always trying to get up in his brain a little bit. All right. So let's get into your brain. Now that we've talked about my son and my stuff all morning, how can I help you?
Well, the question that I put forth is, that I started in January, and I've gone through some of the things, but I just haven't done anything, because I just keep procrastinating, because it's like, this is not the right time and to really dive into it. And there's too many things I'm doing, and I have my own business as a medical massage therapist, and which I'm trying to get away from that, because I have osteoarthritis in my hands now so bad. But so I'm trying to start another business.
Let me ask you this.
Stop.
Like, your brain is coming up with, it's not the right time. But you signed up, because at one point your brain was like, oh God, this is the exact time we need to be doing this.
Right.
Do you notice how, like, the part of the brain that's going to actually have to, like, stop overeating is saying, are you sure it's the right time? Maybe we should just, I don't know, keep on eating for a little while. That's really all that's happening.
Right. To numb whatever I'm buffering with.
No, to keep eating.
To keep eating.
Like,
that's so funny, because I've had points in my life, but it's always under great stress. Like when my other husband left me, I lost a bunch of weight and I stayed that way for a long time. But then I got remarried. 7 years later. And then I was just back in the old same stupid ass habit. And I'm
well,
overwhelmed.
What I want you to see. It's just
I do it with everything in my life.
You do what with everything in life?
Just, you know, wait for the right time or till something really tragic and I'm pushed into a corner and I have to make a change.
Well, a lot of people do that. Your only issue is you're not just pushing yourself into the change sooner.
That's true.
I mean, that's really all that's happening. Like, I think you're making this be like, this is some kind of statement on my morality and sanity. It's like, no, you're eating like the rest of us when you want to eat versus saying, oh, I guess I can't do that right now because I said I wouldn't. Like, that's literally all that's happening.
It's so simple, but I don't know why I make it so complex. And
we make it complex because you have agreed with yourself that you use food to cope with emotion. So if you have agreed with yourself that you're using food to cope with emotion, then every time you feel emotion, your brain says, time to eat, time to eat. It just like starts hitting the urge, like, hey, let's have a snack. Let's clean our plate. Let's do these things. There's nothing weird going on here other than you need to break the tie between the reason why you're eating has nothing to do with your emotions. It has everything to do with in the moment that you want something, you're saying yes.
Instead of no.
Instead of no. That's why you're overweight. It's why you're not doing the program and stuff. It's because you're waiting for the emotions to clean up. You're like, if there's a right time, that must mean there's a right emotional time. If you keep saying, well, the only way I've ever been able to lose weight is waiting for tragedy to strike, then you're going to wait for tragedy to strike rather than just saying, in the past, here's what I've done. I have reconciled that the reason why I lost weight was because of tragedy. No, here's why you lost weight when your husband left you. Did he leave you or you got a divorce, whatever happened? What happened?
Well, he left me for another woman and then he divorced me.
Okay, so your brain reconciled, oh, when you got a divorce and he left you and everything, you lost all that weight because of that. It's like, no, when you were hungry, you didn't eat. That's how you lost the weight. Right. Like your brain, all of you need to hear this. Your brain has to be very conscious of what's causing overeating and what's causing being overweight. You're overeating because you want to eat food outside of what I'm telling you to plan.
Right.
And you're going to lose weight because you decide to make a plan that you absolutely will follow no matter what.
So that kind of crosses into other areas of my life too. It's just like you have to make a plan and stick to it. It's like setting goals in whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So it's not really emotion based. Like sabotaging yourself.
Well, this is what self-sabotage is. This is what we all think it is. Or you guys think it's all because like I feel stressed, I eat. What you're noticing is mm-hmm. that you have, like your core belief is that your food is tied to your stress. Your food is tied to anxiety. Your food is tied to all these things. That's right. The problem. So then when you really want to lose weight, but you truly believe you eat because of emotion, especially negative emotion, anytime those things happen, then you think your brain logically will tell you all the reasons why you should overeat. You deserve it. It's been a long day. It's been tough. You know, like we can start tomorrow. Like it will do all of that. And that will sound way more important than a goal ever will, especially in the moment, because your brain is saying like, look, you're sitting there stressed out. You know, you emotionally eat. All the triggers and cues are right here for you. And that's why you do it. So like the first step is really like saying, okay, well, I'm going to figure this out. First thing I'm going to do is like, yes, I have stress. Yes, I have anxiety. Yes, I have like whatever problems you have going on in here. Like it's not the procrastination, not the right time. All of that, I'm going to work on it. But it really has nothing to do with the food.
Okay.
But when you take away the food, guess what happens? All that stuff is right there.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, guess what happens when you eat? All that stuff is
right there
for you. Yeah. It's like, there's like 10 minutes of relief from all of that.
So not worth it.
No. And that's
myself.
Do what?
I'm disappointed in myself that I just.
Here's the thing. I don't want you, like, why are you disappointed in yourself?
Because I feel like I should be doing it, and I become a perfectionist or want to have everything perfect. And then I do the analysis by paralysis and I just get myself all worked up and then I get disappointed. You coached someone else, I think a week or so ago, kind of, she felt like she was a loser and she wasn't, remember that call? She had finished her schooling.
Yes.
And passed her class. And I really identified with that.
So the only problem is you're judging yourself.
Yeah. I am a judger.
Don't say that. I want you to listen to this call again. I want you to, the I am statement is what you will live into. I am a judger. So then that also means that every time you make a mistake, it's like, oh, I'm a judger. I'm supposed to berate myself for overeating. Oh, I haven't done all the videos and I joined in January. Oh, I'm supposed to berate myself because of that. Your brain follows your lead. Right now, you're letting your old, like, just whatever you've programmed in the past run the show. You've got to flip your brain upside down. So this back part of the brain literally is the lower brain. That's where judgment's residing. That's where I want to eat something is residing. Everything that's just what you've told yourself, it's all just on rolling along back there. The beautiful thing is that we all have our conscious brain right here waiting. You need to do more practice of like being like, I'm going to use my conscious brain to decide who I am. Like, I no longer judge myself. I'm no longer a perfectionist. Like here's what I would do. I would write like, here are the things I no longer am. And here are the ways in which it has cost me so much. Like being a perfectionist has cost me probably 25 pounds of weight loss since I joined PNP. Being a, a self-judger has cost me sleepless nights. You know, like, just go through all of it and just write it down, because what happens is that your brain, like, and you even said it earlier, your brain will tell you what, like, especially in the moments where you want to overeat, the benefit of it. You'll feel better. I mean, come on. Well, we can start tomorrow. This will just help take the edge off today. Whatever mm-hmm. it is, it's always telling you the benefits. If you're not telling the other, like if you're just busy judging yourself, but you're not telling yourself the price you're paying for all of that, your brain will not want to change at all. Your conscious brain will not want to take over.
That's true. I can see that.
All right. So let's get you on a plan. What have you not done? And I don't mean give me some like judgy bullshit stuff. I mean, just tell me like factually what you're not doing right now.
Well, I'm not making a plan.
Okay. So what is it going to take for you to start making a realistic 24-hour plan? And I mean realistic. Like if I said, did you say you had a daughter?
I have 3 children. They don't live with me, any of them. They're on their own.
It doesn't matter, because I'm going to like send an assassin to kill all 3 of them if you don't follow your plan tomorrow. Okay. So what would you be putting on that plan to make sure like, oh, fuck, 100% I would be following that plan no matter what. Like every urge could come. Like the realistic plan needs to mirror like 40 cheeseburgers. You're not killing my kids. All the cheeseburgers are on there today. Yeah.
It's making that plan. It's just doing it every day.
Just but what prevents you from doing now. It? Like, what is the bullshit line you tell yourself? Like, you make a plan. Do you feel like if it was 24 hours out, do you feel like, oh, fuck yeah, I would get this done. This is a no-brainer. There will be no temptation, no urge.
Well, once I did it or just even doing.
No, let's say you and I are like, let's say the plan, let's say you pretend, we're pretending you made a plan yesterday.
Okay. I would follow it.
100%. No doubt.
No, I would screw up because I at the salon where I work, there's goodies out there all the time. So it's so tempting.
But that's not why you screw up. Let's just make sure telling ourselves
the correct. Because I don't have a plan. Because if I had a plan, I would say, wait, that's not on my plan. So therefore, maybe. I'm not eating that.
But I just want to tell you, the reason why your plan would not be followed is because you would go to the salon, you would see the food, and you would choose to eat it. It is not because there's no plan. It is not because of the salon. I just want you to keep reinforcing the reason why I am overeating is because each time I'm presented with the opportunity to overeat, I'm saying yes to make the urge go away versus saying no to eventually make urges go away. That's really all that's happening. I just want you to get into that space because it's so easy for you to think it's like, it's the food over here and it's the stress and it's the lack of planning and it's me being a fuck up. It's me. It's like, you got a lot of story around it. We got to like tamp it down just a little bit. Right, make it real clear what's happening. All right. So we're going to make a 24-hour plan. Okay. That plan though, this is where I know you're going wrong is because you said that you work at a salon and there's all kinds of goodies there. And what would stop you from eating goodies is if you just had some stuff written on a piece of paper. Would that really stop you?
No, it wouldn't. It would be a change of mind and heart to.
It would be planning realistically. That's the change in your mind that's got to happen. Like, what is one of the goodies that's there that's like, woohoo? Tell me one of those goodies that y'all routinely have that you like.
Well, only when they're homemade is when I eat them. And there's a few people. Because we have 26 people that work there besides myself. And a few of them make the homemade goodies. That's when I really overdo it. When it's like store-bought stuff, I usually just walk away.
Usually or 100% of the time?
90% of the time.
Okay, so 90% means like 50.
Yeah, so when I come out of the massage and I'm starving and I didn't, yeah, probably you're right. And I didn't bring lunch because I didn't like plan it, then I'll be starving and I'll just eat that. So I put some protein bars in my drawer that I cut in half so I can have something small to sustain me between clients if I book myself too closely, which I try not to do, but sometimes clients talk too much and it takes longer.
Okay. All right. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a plan every single day.
Okay.
And I literally want you to plan that you will be eating protein bars. Like you need to put on your plan. I can have up to one full protein. That gives you two opportunities. It just needs to be on there every day so that it's there. And you get to decide at any time, like, you know what? I'm not going to need it. I'll be fine. Or it's always on my plan. So I have it in case I need it. I also want you to put down like every single day for a while. The break room is available to me.
Okay.
And you need to put down how much you'll have and at what time during the day you allow yourself to go in there and have it.
Okay.
But outside of that time, it's a no-go. So you have like this one time a day, you pick your favorite time or you're just like, this would be the time I would normally like, ooh, bake goods or even if it's store-bought, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You go in there and you make a decision. It's now or never. And if you want it, you have the permission to have it because it's on the plan. The thing that I'm trying to get you to do first and foremost is you have got to quit letting all the unconscious stuff run the show. None of us can do that. Our unconscious brain was designed to keep us alive back when shit was attacking us all the time. Now we think because our schedule's behind that we're going to die. And we absolutely need to like somehow save ourselves from that. So when we feel stress, if we've identified as an emotional eater, guess what we do? We save ourselves from stress by giving ourselves some food. It's like, right. We don't have a gun to our head anymore. We don't have a tiger chasing us down the street. We have a client that chatted too much. That's the big hairy like beast in the room that's trying to kill us. You have to start reminding yourself, I am not in danger. Nothing terrible is happening right now. I'm just behind on my schedule.
Right. Okay. One last question before we go. That's great. I made notes and I'm going to do that today. And about getting accountability partners, I've heard you say it a couple times, but I never wrote it down. You said Tuesday's the best day to go in the group.
Monday.
And Monday?
You can actually go any day you want, but we have a post every Monday. But if you just go to the Facebook group and you type in hashtag daily post, look for the accountability thread post and just post in there. It'll give you all the instructions and everything. Just look for the previous Monday, or you can go in next Monday and find one. But a lot of people, I mean, if you just in the middle of the week just want to go in and just post on your own saying I'm looking for an accountability group, somebody might pick you up, but most people are trained to look for it on Mondays.
On Monday. Okay, very good. Thank you. That was very helpful, Corinne. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, Valerie, you're next. Are you on? Let me make sure you're on the list. I'm just calling people with their hands raised. Yeah, you are. Just going down the line. Hello, let me unmute you. Hey, what can we coach on?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
I wrote notes, so if I keep looking down, that's why. I've been a groupie since January. I am an April baby in the tribe.
Okay.
And happy to be here.
Good.
Really happy.
I'm happy for somebody to come on and be like, I got on the call to let you know this is all bullshit. I'm recording.
I'm actually finding out how much bullshit I've been telling myself for a long time, so it's all good. I'm working the program really well. I'm very proud of myself. Doing all the things, as everybody likes to say. And I'm really here to talk about how that is changing my relationship with people.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah. In particular, my father. And it's difficult to talk about because I'm 49 years old and I have had what I would call maybe a codependent relationship with my dad since I was like 13.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to sort things out. I'm realizing that my relationship with him causes me to make bad choices when it comes to food. I find that I've been in a fog for years.
Let me ask you this. You have a relationship with your dad and it causes you to do what with your food? Make bad choices?
I'm trying to use the right words because I've really been paying attention to everything that you're teaching us. I feel as though it causes me that the anxiety that it brings to my life makes me make bad choices with food.
No.
No. All right, teach me.
unless your dad, like every time you want to make a bad choice with food, unless you go to your dad's house and say, okay, shove it all in. I need all the bad choices right now. I would be like, yeah, like that's terrible. Quit going to his house. Right. Like, there's an easy overeating fix.
Right.
The problem is you think your dad has anything to do with your food.
Mm-hmm.
You are doing it with the food. Now, anxiety. Go ahead.
All right. Well, what's happening now is because I've made some changes and I have more control.
Mm-hmm.
My relationship with my father is like taking a dive.
So tell me about that. Why don't we just work on dad?
Yeah.
Like, because here's where we're going to fix the food. From now on, you never get to say anything I put in my mouth has anything to do with my father. It's always my choice. I may have some thoughts about my dad and decide to eat over them, but that's because I'm thinking something about my dad rather than thinking about my goal right now. It's like, if you want to think about your dad, then let's problem solve the relationship. Let's not eat over it.
Yes.
You're just using that as you're like, I got an idea. I'll eat. Okay.
And I haven't been. So, yeah. Right,
so tell me about the relationship with your dad. Why is it, what'd you call it? Going downhill?
It's going downhill because I am not as available to him emotionally, financially. in all the ways that he takes advantage. I'm learning about boundaries.
And so how is he taking advantage of you?
How am I letting him take advantage of me probably is more the question.
Yeah, well, you said he's taking advantage of me, so I was just leading you down the shitty path of your thought. You're good, though. You're really listening because you're catchy. Like, you'll say something, I'll repeat it back, and it's like, oh, that was like the wrong way to say that one.
No, thank you for acknowledging that. He's a financial nightmare. And that's true. That's a true statement.
No, it's not, but I'm going to let you describe it.
Okay. He has not planned at all for his retirement, and he's retired. So when he needs something, I pick up the slack, which is a lot. And his physical being reflects really his fiscal being in that he's just out of control. He's out of control. And I'm always there and have been since I was a kid to sort of guide him, help him, lead him, take care of things.
And why do you not want to do that anymore?
It's exhausting.
But it's exhausting not because you're doing it. It's exhausting because you think he's a financial nightmare and all these other things. Like, all of that is literally thought. Here's what we know about your dad. He weighs a certain amount, I guess, because you were like describing him like a beach ball, not necessarily like, no, you know.
Good catch. He has always been, well, for the past 30 years, he's been significantly overweight. But what has happened most recently is he's lost a ton of weight because he's also lost all his teeth. So he can't eat, and that's a whole other call. But, you know, we're working on things, and I guess, yeah, I'm exhausted because I think about it a lot. I'm exhausted because I'm constantly problem solving for him.
I think you're not exhausted because of the problem solving. You keep putting, okay. That's your action line. Okay. But like when you think about the model, problem solving is coming from your thought that we have a codependent relationship. That's right. What's exhausting. It's not the problem solving that's wearing you out. I think it's all of this judgment. Like, basically, you've got so many judgments about him that it's exhausting you.
Yes.
It's like, let's say that you didn't think that he was a bad, like, financial dude. Let just pretend that you just did all this because you actually loved him. Like, you didn't have, like, a long story about your history.
Yeah.
And, like, you were just like, you know what? Everything that we've had happen in the last 40 years is whiskey under the bridge at this point.
Mm.
But we're just going to, like, pretend for a minute, I do this because I actually love my dad.
Right.
Would it be as exhausting?
It would not be as exhausting, but I don't even know how much of this to say. There's some resentment here too.
Part of the judgment.
Yeah.
When you have judgy thoughts, resentment, disgust,
mm-hmm.
all of that resides on that feeling line. You're just going to have different thoughts that are going to generate ugly feelings in you when you're in judgment.
Right. Right.
And I think that's where your model is right now. And that's why it feels so exhausting. Cause I think you've got like two, I'm going to tell you the two models you basically have working. I think your dad and his financial, like, we'll just put dad and his whole thing right there. So it would be, here's how much money he's got in the bank. Here's how much he weighs. Here's how much teeth he's lost. I mean, like, you've got that, and that's literally your circumstance.
So right.
Everything else about your past and stuff like that, shove that off to the side. It doesn't matter anymore. We're just talking about, where's dad today and where are you today?
Okay.
Your thoughts, you've got several of them that lead to resentment, judgment, like all kinds of stuff. And the action line for you is you start, basically, you know what? I think your action line is judgment. Yeah. All right. So you've got your one judgy thought about him. Like, he shouldn't be. What do you think in general about your dad?
Like, one sentence?
Yeah, let's boil it down to one thing you think about your dad in terms of he has no teeth and he has no retirement and he calls you and asks for help.
My thought is that he should have planned better, and he is where he is because of that.
Yeah, and that feels what?
Judgy. It feels uncomfortable. It feels like it's low for me to think like that.
Yeah. And then when you do that, your action line is just going to be like you start judging yourself, you start judging him, all kinds of stuff. And then your result is, you know, I don't get to be the person I want to be.
True. True.
That rolls over into another model of when your result moves up to the circumstance line of I'm not being the person I want to be in relationship with my dad. Your mm-hmm. thought starts where you start judging yourself, where you start having thoughts about you, like, I don't like this. Then the feeling gets to be exhaustion. Like it just starts spiraling into a terrible subset. But here's the thing that I want you to see is that you get to establish boundaries if you want to. But you can't establish boundaries out of judgment. Mm. That will feel exhausting. That will feel establishing boundaries because he should be better. He should have done these things will cause you to start judging yourself a lot more.
Yeah.
Because every time you enforce a boundary, you will think judgy things about yourself.
Right.
Tell me why you really want to set these boundaries. Like, why do you not want to give him money? Like, why do you not want, like, what are the other boundaries you're doing besides I'm not giving you, did you say you're not giving him money anymore? Like, what
no,
is it?
No, I still am. What it boiled down to most recently is that my husband and I have a home away from home and we've owned it for a year and we have invited my father, or really he's invited himself and we've not objected every time we've gone down in the last year. He tends to be not the kind of guest, maybe not the kind of guest everybody would appreciate. And
did I read this on Facebook the other day?
Yeah.
About like, okay, so let me ask you this, because I think I may have even responded over there. I can't remember if I responded or if I read somebody who had a response that I liked, but are you going to take him or not?
Well, he asked to use it alone in the month of June, which is new.
Right, and you're going to let him use it or not?
No, no.
So what's the problem?
There is no problem with that in particular right this minute, but I know he will ask again. He is a pusher.
So what's the problem? Here's the problem. You're not establishing boundaries. You're establishing manuals for him. You're saying you're supposed to be like this. You're supposed to be doing this. And when you try to establish a boundary out of judgment in manuals for people and how they should be behaving, what happens is you start like, now I'm dreading the next time. Now I'm dreading. It's like, if you have a firm boundary, because it's like, no, he's not coming. We don't have a good time when he's there. And he has unsavory friends from what I read in the thing. I think there has been urine involved. Yeah. So like, I just want everybody who didn't like, you know, read this post to understand, like, you have every reason to set the boundary, but you got to be solid in it. And you can't be having any wiggle room with this.
Yeah, I mean, the boundary with him going down there without us, I think, has been firmly set. At least I feel that it has been.
But no, yeah. It's either firmly set or it's not. You're already, I want you to see, this is what we do with food. I am for sure not drinking tonight. Kind of. Like, or I sure hope I don't get tempted. Like, if you're like, literally think, I'm not going to eat tonight, I'm not going to drink tonight, I just hope I don't get tempted. That is you already saying there's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't entertain it. Like a true boundary means you have decided to set the rule and that's it. Otherwise, it's a request.
Yeah.
I would like for you not to come. I would like to not eat tonight.
Right.
So what is the, like, so what are you, like, or do you have a boundary about him coming to any of the future events with you and your husband?
No, the boundary's really only been set for this one.
Okay, that's fine.
For him not going down alone.
Okay.
And we would bring him again if we were going to be there.
Okay. Well, then just make it real clear in your brain, because I think what's happening with your dad is you're wanting to put rules in place around him because you're disappointed in him.
Yes.
And you need to, if you're going to put rules in place around him, it's because you love yourself and you love him. This is not a, like, you should be better moment. Like, if you're going to financially help him, you financially help him because you love him, and that's what you tell yourself. You quit telling yourself some bullshit story around, like, oh, I do it because he's a financial disaster. It's like, look, if you're going to give your dad money, feel good about it. Quit ginning up all this bullshit drama for yourself.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
Do I have a legit beef to feel bad about giving him money if then he gives it to my step siblings and asks me for more?
No, you don't. Because you know what happens when you give him money? You said goodbye to your money.
Yeah.
Like, you have said, Dad, I know how you manage money. And because I don't want to tell you no, I want to feel good, I'm going to give you money. Because this is why you're giving him money, because you want to feel good, right? You want to avoid the conflict of him having problems. Because we always give money. Like, guys, I'm going to tell you, everything you ever do for anyone else is not because you're a people pleaser. It's because you're a me pleaser.
Okay.
People pleasers do this. I'm going to, like, do shit for you because I don't want to, like, deal with any kind of disruption. I don't want you to be unhappy, because if you're unhappy, I'll be unhappy. So if I just make you happy, even if I don't like what I'm doing, at least I don't have to deal with your emotions. It's like, and you don't have to deal with anybody's emotions anyway. You just forget that part. So it's like, you have to know that when you give your dad money, it's like, I know how he spends it. I know, you know, how good or bad he is with his money. But if I choose to give it to him, I also choose to say goodbye to managing the money. And if you don't like the way, right. And if you don't like the way he spends money, guess what you should do? Quit giving him money in hopes that he'll do better and getting pissed that he's not doing better.
Right.
That's all for you.
Right.
Because you're going to be pissed and judgy. Like, do I have the right to hold a beef or a grudge or whatever it is you said? It's like, you're holding a beef and a grudge now.
Right.
Like, if you don't give him the money and you are like, that's going to be hard and uncomfortable, at least in that painful moment for you, you learn how to, like, have integrity with the relationship. You learn how not to just be a people pleaser. You start, like, allowing yourself to step into who you want to be in that relationship, even if it feels like shit in the front end. But on the back end, you're not a judger, and you're not holding a grudge, and you're not looking at these stepkids, and you're not doing all those other things.
Right.
You're just paying the price of uncomfortableness on the front end to avoid the disaster waiting for you on the back end of the other choice.
Right.
Does that help?
It does. I can't wait to go back and watch this again, because I think I need to hear it.
Hear it like two or three times. The bottom line is, do some models.
Yeah.
Put your dad in the actual circumstances there. And if you don't know if you're still on the actual circumstances, go to ask coaches before you even do a model and say, like, here was my thought download. And, like, I would just do a thought download about your dad. Let it loose. Okay. It's a let it loose thought download. This is not a, like, oh, let me coach myself and sound really good. Just, like, throw all the bullshit down.
Right.
Then pull out what you think are the facts of that. And then let a coach say like, yep, that's all facts. Or like, no.
Right.
And they'll tell you like, here's your real facts. Then everything else in that TDL, just once a day, go through and pull one thought out and model what that's doing. You will see where your judgment and your resentment and things are lying. So that you can be like, okay, I'm not ready to establish more boundaries yet. Or, you know, I no longer give my dad money if I think I'm going to hold a grudge on how he spends it. The boundary is with myself. Because most of the time, boundaries have nothing to do with other people. We need to set self boundaries. Like, I need to quit giving my dad money when I know that I'm going to have expectation and judgment over him on how he spends it. Until I can just give it to him and just say, like, here, you get to go blow it or invest it. But whatever you do, it's now your money and it's not mine. And when you can do that, then yeah, you either give it to him or you're just like, you know what? No, he's proven time and time again. He's not good with money. I'm not going to give him money to not be good with anymore, but I can still love him.
Right. Right. I think I get judgy about it because I don't have a lot of it to spread around. And I think that, you know, my husband going out and working hard every day so that my dad can ask for money puts me in a weird spot too, you know? So yeah. I got a lot to write down and think about.
Well, and I'll just say this to close it out. Most of us judge other people because it's a lot easier to judge other people than it is to just tell them no.
Yes.
And deal with our own, like, knowing that we're fixing to let someone down.
Yes.
Because
yes,
that's exactly what's going to happen. It's like, you know, it's easier for me to judge him and not let him down than it is for me to say no, him be upset. Because like your husband is probably going to keep supporting you. Your husband is probably going to keep going to work. It's like, it's a lot easier to feel guilt around that with someone who's going to unconditionally love you no matter what. Y'all might even argue about it every now and then, but you know, it all works out. Your brain will reconcile. That's a lot easier. I don't want to disappoint him.
Right.
It's like, the question is, why don't you want to just let him be disappointed and learn how to love him anyway? And learn how to love yourself through that process.
Right.
It'll be hard for that. The first time you start telling him no on lots of these things, if you choose to do that, or you just choose to like do it without like feeling like a personal asshole about it, either way you go, you know, like have some compassion for him. You've trained him on how the relationship is. If you change the relationship, you'll have to train him on how the new one is. And he's not going to be like, thank you. I didn't want us to be codependent all these years. I'm so glad you're doing this. Like, that won't happen.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Is Laura here? Laurie? I think it was Laurie. I don't see her. There was a Laura Wiley. If you're here, I'll call you next. If not, all right, let me go on to the next person. Let's go with Amy. Make sure that if you have your hand raised, it is because you were, that you had signed up for this call and someone, our staff messaged you and said, you're probably going to, you might get on coaching. So make sure you're here. Otherwise, I don't want to call on someone who didn't actually sign up. All right, Amy.
Hi.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm in my car. I'm not driving, but I had a bad connection. I had to run out to my car.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So I'm a January baby, and I have been trying to tackle my at-night eating.
Okay. Why does it make
me? Like, I don't know. I just feel like I was super successful before I joined, like in December. Mm-hmm. And I was going back through my data today, and I was just like, I don't know why I keep like going back to it.
Going back to the eating or the data? I was like, no. I can tell you why you got the data, because it's strong.
The data is good. Yeah. It shows that they keep doing it.
So what is the difference between, here's the thing that slays me. People always think, well, I was doing really well until I joined, and then I just went off the rails. And it's like, that never happens. Because if you joined, it wasn't because everything was perfect. And you're just like, I just want to give you money to validate how good I am.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Don't let your brain separate that out. Because your brain is just looking for, like, let me find all the reasons to blame, you know, why we're eating at night. It's like, we're eating at night because look what happens. What time do you eat usually?
Like 7:38. I've been trying. Okay. Two nights in a row. I haven't.
Good.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to get more sleep, and my husband is an early to bed guy, and I love to stay up late. Like, it's always been like my time, I've always liked it, but I know it's not good for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to do better with that. And, so usually I eat at 8, and he's not eating. Like, he is like, he eats supper. He doesn't eat anything afterwards. And I am like the going back and forth to the kitchen then. And I just want to enjoy my time with him.
Okay. Then you need to just go enjoy your time with him. If that's what you really want to do, what's the only thing stopping you is you get hungry or you have an urge to eat.
Yeah. I'm not hungry. Like,
no, you're like emotionally hungry. You want to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know it's not physical hunger.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. But basically I have this desire to eat. I go in there and I do all that.
Yeah. Well, I bring it back and I sit in the chair and all that. And
it doesn't matter. All I'm saying is that what's happening at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, your brain naturally wants to eat because you have been doing it for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
But why is it so upsetting to you?
I don't know.
Don't tell me that. You know, that's the wrong ass answer.
I do.
Well, you're obviously sad. Why are you sad?
Well, I was doing those stupid self-love journal prompts today. Yeah. No, they're awesome. They're awesome. And I was just like thinking about like all this time that I've been doing this, that this habit has just like been a part of my life. And I have not, like, I so desire to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. And I've tried different things, and I've tried to like even insert a food there, but then sometimes that just will spiral and I'll just like go off the rails. But I think it's just regret. Maybe that's why I'm emotional now, like regret of this habit. This kind of, it feels like kind of an uncontrollable habit.
It's not an uncontrollable habit, okay? I want to clean your brain up a little bit around what all's going on with you, okay?
Okay.
You are at 7:30 or 8 o'clock having just a conditioned response in your brain. That's literally all that's happening. You have taught your brain that at night to want some food, and it starts really wanting it. So it starts telling you what you need to hear because it wants to feel the pleasure of the food. That is all that's happening. This is not a statement on your morality. This is not like, you know, you don't need to be regretting wasted time. You just need to be very aware that that is your pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not an indictment on my past. I think I'm making it. I think that might be what I'm doing here. Is making an indictment on my past.
You're doing something. Otherwise, you wouldn't be crying. Because if the only thing that happens is like, oh, every night I want to eat. I'm getting out some notes. I literally am studying this right now.
Ooh, awesome.
Yeah. We're getting ready to have a course on this next month. So it's very... Is this the book I did it in? the big thing that you have to remember is that it's just, so you have your primitive brain, you know about this, I call it the idiot. Mm-hmm. It's the one that just puts everything into habit. It is put into habit that at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, you want to unwind. You want to have your time. You have created a story around that. I'm a night owl now. Like, your brain has all of its little things. Like, we're night owl. This is like, I know we want to connect with our husband, but this is more important. This is where our pleasure is going to come from. Mm-hmm. So at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, trust me, connecting with your husband will never be as important as this, only because this will feel good in the moment. Mm-hmm. The only thing that has to stop, literally, is going to have to be for you to have a few times where you don't eat, even when you want to.
Right.
And to remind yourself, the only reason why I want to is because I've got, this is what happens in your brain. So like, it's 7:30. I really want some food. Your brain starts cycling through all of the things that it normally says that has worked in the past. It's, the brain loves to access the past to figure out what to say now to get what it's always had. Okay. Right. So it starts doing that while it's jacking up, because your brain will start thinking about, oh, but we could be having Oreos and we could be having these things. The dopamine starts releasing ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Like, it even feels good to think about breaking our plan. It even feels good about, like, to think about walking in there. But you know what it also has to do at the same time? It has to release anxiety hormone. Mm-hmm. Because the only way that you will use your conscious brain to get up, walk to the kitchen, and walk back is for there to be enough cortisol racing through your bloodstream to make you feel as if there's a true emergency. Cognitively, we know there's no emergency, that an Oreo is like, you know, like, call the fire department and tell them to bring all the Oreos to put out the fire. But our brain literally thinks the house is on fire. If we go get the Oreos, all will be well again. That's the problem with the stress hormone. It doesn't know real emergency from a fake emergency. Your job is literally going to have to be like, to understand that's all that's happening every single night, but also to be willing to think through that's all that's happening tonight. And while I sit here with the dopamine desire to go get it and the cortisol that's making me feel panicky on the inside, because if you don't just go do it, what happens is you'll start sweating, you'll feel antsy, you'll think something's really wrong, that you can't do this, you can't stand this, this is too much for me, I should just go do it. And it takes a good 10 to 15 minutes for your body to burn through all of that stuff before it starts relaxing down again. And then sometimes it comes back up.
I did experience that the last two nights. Like, I sat through it. I was trying to really pay attention to what I was feeling and what I was thinking. And, you know, it did calm down after, about 15, 20 minutes. And then even last night, out of the blue, my husband was like, I'm hungry. I'm still hungry. I'm like, I'm trying not to eat. Go get it yourself. I'm not walking in the kitchen. So it was a good test because I didn't. But I was kind of thinking, am I white knuckling or am I really feeling the feelings? You know, I was trying to sort of distinguish that, and I'm not sure if I was sort of white knuckling.
The difference between, and so it's a good thing you asked, because somebody else asked this. I don't think it was you, but so white knuckling is where it feels like it's getting worse. That means you're not really watching your thoughts. You're arguing with them. You're wanting them to go away, because you wouldn't want the thoughts to go away if they were losing their intensity.
Okay.
You want them to go away if you are arguing with them and the intensity is increasing. So, like, this is how I always like to look at it. When you're white knuckling and you're just, you think, I got to go do something else to not think about this. Let me just go busy myself so I don't have to think about this. It's like, what you want to do is, like, literally, if you're going to like go through an urge and truly feel an urge. And I think for all of you that really struggle with urges, please schedule some time out to be able to sit with them. It literally means go and get in the chair and sit. This is not like, you know, I really mean it. You're going to have to just sit with it and you're going to have to be like, okay, I just want to see what my brain says and I want to feel what's going on in my body. Get out some paper, write it down. It makes it, I think that when you write while it's happening, it allows you to watch it more than start moving into resistance. Because if you're like, I'm thinking this, of course my brain, like, oh, I notice my brain says this all the time. Like it just, it does all of those things. Like that's what you want to be writing down. But it's like knowing that it's normal for your brain to go any bullshit excuse you've used in the past. It's like, oh, well, let me try this one. Oh, well, let me try this one. Oh, well, let me try that. Well, when I tried this one, you know, in 1984, it worked. It's just trying literally to take care of the cortisol that's in your body. And cortisol needs time to burn off.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Just keep doing it.
Yeah. Night three. Here we go.
Well, and don't go into it dreading it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I want you to go into it. Like, this is the difference between white knuckling, resisting, and actually allowing. Going into it being like, I'm ready for battle. This is going to be hard, but I'm going to handle it. And I'm just going to, you know, like, you don't need a pep talk. You need to go into it saying, like, I'm ready. Like, I know there's going to be a lot of thoughts. And I don't want to prejudge anything. I just want to see what happens. Mm-hmm. But no, like, I want you to tell yourself, I'm going to be able to handle anything that comes up, no matter what. Even, like, I want you to think about this. Let's say you eat. You need to pre-plan, like, and here's what I'm allowed to think. Because I'm just going to tell you, at some point, it will tap the right thought that you weren't prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you going to judge yourself and regret and cry and make it a big deal and say, and all that work I've done is now thrown out the window? Like, that's the other stuff you have to be prepared for.
Yeah.
At some point, this part of your brain, the one that wants to make sense of your eating, that wants to normalize everything, that just wants to have authority, you have to let it take control.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And
it's exhausting.
It is exhausting. Well, that is because, like, the way we're just designed is the primitive brain, the lower brain, the idiot brain, whatever you want to call this guy in the background, it runs automatically for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thinking brain requires a lot of energy. It actually, if we used our brains to the capacity that they could, they would kill us. One, like our body's not even designed to be able to take in enough calories and operate and function. That's why, like, heart rate, lungs, all that stuff. That's why it's in the automatic part. Could you imagine if you had to think all day, like, oh, I need to breathe. Oh, I need to breathe. Oh, I need to breathe.
Right.
Like, this part of the brain is exhausting. And when people do, like, very mind challenging work, like athletes will say their hardest workouts are never the workouts where they're doing sprints and stuff. Their hardest workouts are always the one where they're working on technique, where they're having to really focus on every little thing. And then they go home and they're exhausted. And it's like the lowest expenditure physically, but they burn as many calories or more because their brain had to work so hard that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, that is what happens. So this work will feel tiring, which is more reason for you to get your ass in bed and quit calling yourself a night owl. It's not helping your weight loss.
Right. Well, I know. I mean,
I'm learning to become a morning person because I'm less likely to want to eat in the morning.
For sure. One other quick question. I had written on my sheet that I was thinking, like, maybe I should be habit stacking. You know, I read Atomic Habits and I thought, I don't brush my teeth at night and that's not good for me, or I'm very infrequent. And so if I brush my teeth right after dinner, that would be another kind of thing to stack on.
I think
on.
All that's fine.
Okay.
I just want you to know that those are just pattern interrupts.
Yeah.
The purpose of a pattern interrupt isn't to make not eating at 7:30 easy emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The purpose of a pattern interrupt is to throw your conscious brain on to start making the decisions for when the idiot kicks in and says, I think the donut will feel good. I don't care that you've brushed your teeth. It's okay. You've spent the last 10 years not brushing your teeth every night anyway. That will be the next story that it will say. It's like, who cares?
Right, right.
But it's a way, it's like a trick. It's like, think about it. Habit stacking is like speed bumps. You're not going to be able to go 65 miles per hour towards this fridge anymore. Now you're going to have to go like 15 miles an hour and roll over
right.
the bumps. It's enough to make you aware of what's happening.
Right, so right.
Decide versus just react. Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. Sorry for the ugly cry.
No, it's okay. I like to at least have one crier every day.
Oh, gosh.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, let's get another one. Angela, how to get over my damn self. Are you here, Angela? Doesn't look like Angela's here. Let's see. Melissa's not here. Stephanie, my friend Stephanie. What are you getting coached on? Shopping for clothes that are out of your comfort zone. I guess so, because like you've lost all this weight. Tell everybody how much weight you've lost, honey.
131 pounds.
131 pounds. And she's a Zumba instructor. And we've had coffee in Vegas.
And I hate your next Vegas trip. I'm going the weekend before and the weekend after.
That sucks. We're going Memorial Day. Next weekend. What is next weekend? Oh, that's Memorial Day. Oh, you're going this weekend?
Yes. Yeah.
Is the weather going to be good?
Yeah, it looks like it'll be okay. We're going to go to EDC.
Oh.
So, yeah, I know.
I always forget. Does that last a week or no?
That lasts Thursday through Monday.
Oh, okay. Well, a lot of years, Chris and I have gone to Vegas when they've like been in town. This is the people that wear the crazy outfits and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've been there several times and been like, you know, going down to the pool and somebody walked by with a diaper on. And it's just like, the kids are here. So are you going to wear a diaper?
No.
Oh, well, all right. Then why do you even need coaching?
First time going to EDC, and only because it was like you and Chris were walking down the Vegas Strip and my husband saw all the, you know, pasties and everything else. And he's like, that would be so cool to go. So last year I asked him, how important is it for you to go to EDC? And he goes, well, I really want to go. It's like on my bucket list. I said, all right, I bought you tickets for your birthday for next year.
Oh, wow. So now,
like, oh, okay. Get positive thoughts. We're going to go. We're going to do this.
So why are you nervous about going?
I'm not really nervous about going. It's just I don't like huge crowds. So that's out of my comfort zone. And it's an all-night party. And, I mean, we know kids do drugs and they're going to be high. And that's just not an environment I really like to be in. But because he really wants to go, we're just going to go.
Yeah.
And have.
Well,
what I was having issues with, well, I was going to shop for EDC, right? And the sexy stuff doesn't bother me wearing it. I wore it as a larger person. I wear it now. That didn't bother me. What bothered me was going into stores I normally don't shop in.
Okay.
So I was happy going into, you know, the plus size stores. But now in normal sizing, I'm going, what do I do? What I felt like this overwhelm, like, I started hyperventilating. I started getting overwhelmed and I walked out of the store and I thought, okay, Stephanie, you're working yourself up, just you. I mean, the clothes are not working yourself up, you are.
Mm-hmm.
So take a deep breath and you're not leaving this mall feeling this way. So figure out a small thing to do that's gonna get you back and feeling at least accomplished. So I went into Victoria's Secret, had them measure me for bras, and felt good about it. But I went back to the stores with my daughter and I felt okay. But I think I felt uncomfortable by myself. Like I felt lost.
Why did you feel so lost? What was your thought?
My thoughts were like, am I even going to try this on? Would it even look good? I mean, I have this, you know, all this excess skin. It's going to be bulging. It's probably like, I think that I'm a certain size, but really I'm going to try this on and it's not going to be that size, but I've worked so hard to be that size. Mm-hmm. And now just kind of different thoughts. So I couldn't even pick up the clothes to look at them. I would just look and be like,
well, let me ask you this. Let's just say that you did see loose skin and it didn't look the way you wanted it to, and it didn't fit. What would you have made that mean?
I mean, my thoughts around it would probably be like, well, we're going to get there one day. We're still working. We're still
in process. That's what your good girl brain, your right. trained brain thinks. What are you?
Right.
I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't have felt lost and overwhelmed and had all of a sudden, like all these thoughts, if there wasn't a core thought underneath there that has some like judgment or doubt or something. And it's just smoking that one out. Like really like being honest with yourself. Like what would I have made it mean if I had tried on clothes and I didn't like what I saw and it didn't fit like I thought it would? I would be what?
I think it would have made mean like I worked so fucking hard for this. Like what was the point? If I'm not going to look the way I want to look in this, what was the point? Like, I was afraid all these thoughts that there was that one piece that was going to open the floodgates again.
Well, and I think that's where you need to, like, this is exactly where you need to be. So you need to answer that question. The point is, like, because, like, that's where the disconnect's happening. Like, you're just jumping to a brand new model of like, well, you know, I'm going to keep going. Like you're like, I'm going to white knuckle and soldier straight through this one. And that's what you do. I mean, you're really not the white knuckling, but you're really good about like, fuck this. This is what we're doing. Like, you're like me. It's just like, all right, we're just like, you want to go to this? I don't want to go, but you know what? I love you. And I can reconcile my discomfort for your, you know, like to know that I'm doing something for my man. Like you also can do that with your weight loss. Like, you know, like whenever you feel like, you know, maybe I can't do something. It's like, no, fuck that. I have dreams. I'm going to go on. But here's the deal. Your brain is throwing up a signal that it needs to know that outside of looking the way you want, why this is so important to you. Because if it's all about just how you look, you better hope to God you look perfect when you get down there. And 99.9% of us who've ever lost weight, no matter, I don't care if it's 10 fucking pounds or 2,000 pounds. Seriously, when we get there, our mental image and our reality rarely match up. So you have to be willing to be like, it's got to be more than just your size, your weight, and how you look.
Okay.
And I think you have more reasons. But if you're like me, like for a big piece of my weight loss was vanity. Like I loved the idea of being sexy.
It was for, you know, the kids, for to be active, to my husband's always been a runner. I wanted to one day run with him. Those were my reasons. But then when I started feeling more confident and seeing, oh, you know, people are giving me compliments, I'm looking hot, I'm strutting my stuff. Now I'm like, oh, hell no, we need to be looking good and snatched, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think what you can do is do a couple of things. One is like, allow yourself to be like, you know, I may not like, I'll be like every other human being. I'm going to see my body and at times not love everything I see. It doesn't mean that my weight loss wasn't worth it. And it doesn't mean anything like I'm broken or that I have low self-esteem. It means I'm just like everyone. I'm going to look at myself. And sometimes I'm going to find what's wrong. I'm going to have to remind myself of what's right about me. And it also begs you to remember, like, that although my compelling reason shifted because this one was fun, like, right. When people started commenting on my weight and I started looking good and all this other stuff, that was a very fun, compelling reason. And it was charged with a lot of, like, woohoo. Whereas, like, being an example of what's possible to Logan and ending the obesity gene, although it sounded good and loving, it wasn't exciting. Unlike, right. A hoochie top. immediate payoff right there. You know, Logan at 35 eating healthy, that's a long wait. So it's just reminding yourself, like, when you say, like, why is it worth it? Like, what the fuck? If I'm not going to look the way I want, why, what was this all about? That's when you start writing. Let me just tell yourself what it is all about. It's about all these other things. It's all about the pride you have in yourself now. It's about being able to, like, love your body at any size, because you've had to love it at every size to get to where you are now.
Right.
It's like, it's all those things. And so I think, especially for my girls that are experiencing a lot of success, we get so tied to the goal and stuff, and we get so tied to our, like, what's going right. We also forget to, like, do some work on reinforcing, like, just why we're here and the things that we like, not just how we're following our plan, but all the things that are right about us. Like, we're committed. We do things when we don't want to do it. Like, we've learned how to do those things. Finally, that's why this is so important. It's beyond just, like, what this clothes is going to look on me. And I can want the clothes to look different and not have to feel like this was all not worth it.
That's true.
Because that's what I tell myself about my legs. Very often I want my legs to look very different.
Right.
And I just, like, and it's okay to want them to look different, but I don't have to feel bad because I want them to look different. I can just acknowledge that.
Okay. So a lot of TDLing in store.
They never end, ever.
Does it get easier feeling more comfortable shopping in different stores?
Yeah.
Like, I had the same issue when I started shopping for gym clothes. I felt uncomfortable. And what was so funny is after Victoria's Secret, I ran into one of the, sports stores and felt like, this is my jam.
Yeah.
This is comfortable now.
It's because you've reconciled all of that. This is the problem right now. Whenever you go into the different stores to buy, like, regular clothes and stuff, it's pushing on the fear that you won't look the way you want. And you're afraid if you don't look the way you want, then there will be no reason to stay here.
Okay.
That's what it's tapping. And what you need to do is, like, give yourself every reason to stay here and keep going. Other than just saying, we're just going to keep going. It's like, no, here's the reasons why we're going to keep going. Then when you go into the stores and you try things on, if they don't look the way that you want them to, they won't be pushing on your fear that this wasn't worth it.
Okay.
And I think that's what you're experiencing.
Just means it doesn't fit. Move on to another.
Just means it doesn't fit. Yeah. And I'm just going to tell you, when you lose a lot of weight, like, you're going to have to try on all kinds of stuff. And then you're going to be like me. Like, I have finally figured out, like, what silhouettes look the best on me. There are some that are cute as all get out and they look like BS on the queen. Just, I would love to be able to wear stuff like, those dusters, like those long sweater dusters. I just think they're beautiful. And I look like I've gained 30 pounds when I wear one. I don't wear dusters. They never look slimming. My ass looks about this wide. Like, because the best part of me, it's like straight down. So it drapes over these big ass tits of mine.
Yeah.
It's like, I just lose my shape, So like, y'all wonder why I wear halter tops. So anytime I wear something that's cut like this, I look more shapely. Suddenly I have a waist. It's like, you start figuring it out, but you're going to have to try on so much stuff. And you're going to be like, you know what? There's going to be a lot of things that don't look good on this body. And there's going to be some things that look amazing on this body. And it's not because this body isn't amazing. It's because I'm just trying to figure out the clothes that look good on me. And thin people have the same problem. If I put like somebody who's titless in a halter top, they look ridiculous next to me.
That's true.
And it ain't because like they're thin. It's like thin people have, you know, clothes problems too. We just make it usually means like, oh, it's my loose skin. Oh, it's this. It's, oh, it's that. It's like, no, every single human body has silhouettes that look good in them and silhouettes that don't.
Okay. Makes sense.
Well, I hate that I'm going to miss you. You're coming to the race though, right?
Yeah. I'll see you at the race.
So I was going to say, like, I'm going to see you soon anyway. So, all right. Yeah. Well, have fun.
A quick question though.
Yeah.
So this is a plan that I think I'm having. And I want to kind of check with you and see if it's a good plan.
Okay.
So I'm thinking my plan, my goal weight is 150. I'm about 40 pounds away. So I'm thinking skin removal surgery, but I want to have my weight get to my goal and hold it off for 6 months.
Why?
See the fluctuations like between the 5 and 10 pound.
Well, that won't matter with skin surgery.
No. Okay.
No, you can have skin surgery and lose like 20 pounds and it'll still look fine. It's not going to like all of a sudden be whatever. They tighten it all up. So it would be just like someone who had 20 pounds to lose. If they lost 20 pounds, it's not like they just have all this loose skin. I didn't have skin removal surgery because it was so fresh from losing weight that I didn't know if I'd keep it off. I don't advise this, but one of the reasons why I waited was because I was like, well, I just want to make sure I'm going to keep it off. Like when I look back, I'm like, oh, I needed a life coach bad. But
when I first wrote down my plan, I thought, no, I'm going to wait. It started off waiting 6 months because if I was going to keep it off, but now going through all the, you know, thought work and everything, now I'm like, well, I know I'm keeping it off. Now, why am I waiting? And
yeah.
And started writing.
There's good reasons for waiting. That's not one of them. So learn from my mistake. But the main thing is if you want to wait 6 months, do it so that you can make sure that you're very comfortable in the body you have now. Because when you have the skin surgery, like you're going to need a strong ass mindset. Like you want to make sure that you are really onto yourself. You're doing TDLs every day about your body. You're managing your mind. You want to love the body. You want to love your skin and love the body you have. Because having skin surgery, if you're nitpicking it and you have expectations, you're supposed to look a certain way and blah, blah, blah. Skin surgery leaves you with a smaller yet still imperfect body and scars.
Okay.
So it's like, if you're nitpicking, guess what you're going to do? You're going to nitpick all that. And you have about 8 months to 12 months before it even looks good. So it's like when I had my surgery, oh my God, my legs. Poor legs. I mean, they would swell. They would like start off one size. I had to have like two sizes of jeans because I would have one pair that would fit in the morning. And by about 1 o'clock on a hot day, I couldn't even sit down in them.
Oh, wow.
Because you swell so much. So it just depends on where you're having your surgery and all that kind of stuff. So.
So should you would recommend me starting to TDL on, you know, what I love about my body, different, you know.
You need to TDL on what you love about it. You need to TDL on why you want to change it. Find out all the thoughts you have around why you want to change your body. You need to TDL on what you think surgery is going to do for you. Like, I think when I have surgery, I'm going to think and feel these things about my body. That's the, you want to work to whatever it is you think you want to think and feel after surgery. You want to get to where you totally believe that now about your current body.
Okay.
And that, so that surgery will just be like icing on the cake.
Okay.
It won't be like having surgery will not create love for your body. It's a circumstance.
Okay.
When we change circumstances to fix how we feel, whatever your thought pattern is now about your body, it will be magnified because now you will have spent all the money, time, recovery and stuff on your surgery, and the same thought patterns, they will feel even more intense. So if you're going to have a thought pattern, it better be a loving one because you're going to need it.
Okay. That makes sense. So yeah. That's a good, I'll start working on that.
Mm-hmm. I know. I've always wanted to be a skin removal, like weight loss coach. I've always like wanted to like write a program around it, 'cause I'm just like, nobody tells us what to expect. And it's a lot.
Maybe you should start working on that. That should be a next course.
You know, because I ain't got but, you know, 400 I'm working on for you guys right now. I've got literally 3 binders and some books out in front of me, because I'm just like, I feel like that cat meme where it's like, That's me all day, every day. Okay, let me grab one more and then we'll get out of here. So I have a call at 1:30. All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Stacey, I'm going to grab you. We're going to get this one done in 8 minutes. Best coaching of my life. Wait, were you signed up for a call?
No.
Oh, I didn't think so. Okay. All right. No, hang up. All right, guys. That is everyone that had their hand raised. I just thought Stacey was on. You guys have a good one. And Heidi said she adored this call. I'm glad. Maybe we can separate out that. Well, here's one question. Let me answer that and then we'll get out of here. I do awesome all week long with the basics and all hell on the weekends. I get back up and start on Mondays each week, but I feel that I would do so much better if I could just do it 7 out of 7 days. Yes, you would do so much better if you would do it 7 out of 7 days. You need to have a realistic plan for your weekends. Your past few weekends have taught you everything you need to know for planning the next weekend. It cannot be that it's going to mirror the other days, because guess what? The weekends are different for you. We know this because you keep eating differently on the weekends. Create the realistic plan for the weekend. Do all of it consciously. I don't care if you're going out to eat and you don't know where you're going. Then you need to plan exactly what it's been like the last few weekends. If you went out and you had appetizers, guess what? You need to put, I'm going to go out and every meal is going to have appetizers. Every meal is going to have drinks. It needs to be very conscious. And then before you go in, you need to say, and I'm going to be eating all this stuff in contradiction to what my weight loss goals are. Like, put it all out there for your brain to see, and make going out to eat not a turn my brain off, fuck it moment. Make it a, oh, I'm fucking my goals moment. And I'm going to have to consciously sit there and think about that while I'm eating and drinking and stuff. Like, oh yeah, let me just keep reminding myself, this gets me no closer to my goals. Make the experience more painful. Don't just turn the faucet off and expect it to get better. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.